Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 7 Investing Podcast. I'm JT Street from the 7 Investing Marketing Team, and I am joined today by two of our lead advisors here at 7 Investing, CEO Simon Erickson and Christoph Bykarski. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on a very eventful March the 5th. How are you, Simon?
Doing great. Good to hear from you.
Never better. Never better.
Guys, the reason I bring you both in today is because we are doing something pretty entertaining to celebrate the fourth year of 7 Investing. We are having the best stocks of 2024 contest. For people who follow 7 Investing but may not know what this contest is, it is open to anyone. We have teamed up with Stock Card to create an ability for you to have a mock portfolio and pick the 7 stocks that you think are going to do the best between now and March 1st of 2025. And you can go to 7investing.com/contest and sign up. And it's a pretty big prize pool that we're dangling in front of people. You can win a $1,000 Amazon gift card and a free year subscription to both 7investing and Stock Card if you are the person at the end of the year who has the highest overall profit in your portfolio. So the way it works is you pick your 7 stocks, you monitor those daily gains, and then after that, it's just like the stock market. If you want to sell, you can swap a stock out with another one. The only difference is this, you know, 7 Investing, it's your 7 stocks. So we're capping it at 7, but after that, all bets are off. Simon and Christoph, the reason we're bringing you in today is because we are getting the wisdom of the crowds for the 7 Investing portfolio. Obviously, we're not going to take the gift card away from everybody if we win, but we thought it would be fun for everyone to get involved in what would be our 7 picks. So you all as advisors have come up with 14 matchups, and then we're going to let the public vote, and the results of those votes will be our 7 picks. So the first matchup was held on Twitter yesterday, and it was Novo Nordisk, a drug maker, versus Celsius, the not-quite drug maker, or energy drink maker. And it was a landslide. I think Celsius won with something close to 70% of the vote last time I checked it. So a runaway win for the energy drinks over the weight loss drugs. And I wanted to bring Christoph in here to break down a little bit about what Celsius is and what is the reason for the excitement level behind it. So Christoph, I've had a Celsius. What else is there to know about this company?
I like this victory, and it resonates with my keep it simple, stupid investing strategy, in which sometimes the most obvious, uncomplicated products do the very best over the long term. I think of Celsius as a little bit of a magic pony, magic trick, in that they took water and then added some potentially beneficial ingredients, and through the magic of marketing and branding, created an energy drink that appeals to the non-monster, non-Red Bull crowd. So basically, everybody else that was ignored by those kind of death and skull bones cans that look really aggressive and black with green claws, everybody else. That's like, think of your everyday workers and yogis and people that are afraid of injecting too much caffeine and sugar into their veins. They're like, where's my healthy energy drink alternative? And via, again, I think some science that's kind of, above the, it passes muster, but I don't think these guys have invented any magical formula. So I'm ambivalent as to the health claims per se. Obviously, they're not lying to anybody, but they've done enough to say, look, if you drink these energy drinks, you're not doing as much harm to yourself as the other guys. And as the years have progressed, their revenues have absolutely skyrocketed in part on the backs of a Pepsi distribution deal. So my investment thesis for Celsius is very, very simple. These guys are now selling their sugar water, their healthy sugar water, at a rate faster than any other beverage company, and they are taking market share away from the leaders. It's that simple. There's really not much more to it. I think the hard thing being not selling too early. What got me interested, I'll say one more thing. What got me interested in this company as a recommendation was looking back at some of the best investments over the last couple of decades. And lo and behold, it was Red Bull and Monster Energy Drink right up there. So these guys are basically version 2.0, and they now have the distribution deal. They have the branding. They have the marketing. When you go into stores now, they're popping up pretty much everywhere. Their revenues are growing gangbusters. Keep it simple, stupid.
And I will say, Christoph, one thing to add to your science element here. As somebody who has consumed a fair amount of caffeine and energy drinks of all types, one of the things that I like about Celsius is they don't overdo it on some of the more questionable like vitamin packages, right? So like if you drink a Monster or some of the Rockstars, you're getting 200, 300, 400% of the daily allotment of like vitamin B12, right? Which can lead to all kinds of weird like skin itching and in some cases like almost like a rosacea like effect. If you're susceptible to B vitamin toxicity, may not be the right word, or maybe it is. But it's you get that kind of like flush, you get itchy, you feel it, right? And not necessarily in a positive way. I know I can drink a Celsius and I don't get more than 100% of anything. I get just enough to get my daily vitamins. I get a big hit of caffeine and I'm able to make it through my drive or whatever. So that is one of the things that, you know, I do look at the back of the can when I buy these things. And that is something that made a difference to me and had me choosing Celsius for quite a while. Simon, I wanted to bring you in here, both to talk about Celsius and to talk about Novo Nordisk, the other company in our first round. I, as somebody who is familiar with the medical weight loss industry, not as a recipient, but just someone who's interested in the industry, I am surprised, not that Celsius won, but that it was by such a high margin. When you look at what is happening with Novo Nordisk and its semaglutide products and the sea change that is going to happen in medical weight loss in the United States as a result of these new drugs and in the market and the potential for them to, as we talked about in our last podcast, you know, go through and inhibit negative body responses to other stimuli. I'm a little surprised that Twitter was so one-sided on this. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, first of all, you know, about Celsius, as usual, Christoph nails it. I loved his description of keep it simple, stupid, and Celsius being a mythical being that just defies gravity, just like Monster did. You know, I think that when you look at the stock market as a whole, do you guys know what the best performing stock of the last 30 years was?
It's not Monster.
It was Monster Beverage.
Oh, was it Monster? Yeah.
Monster Beverage had a 200,000% return since 1994, right? So you put $1,000 in a Monster back in 1994, 30 years later, it's worth more than $2 million, right? You're living on your Monster Beverage island now that you got from just buying a small amount of the stock 30 years ago. And I think Christoph's right. You know, it's just, you know, keep the simple. You're getting a mini Monster with Celsius that's got a wider audience than even Monster had. It's not all about testosterone. You know, this is something that's got vitamin, zero sugar, and natural as possible. So I like the thesis. I think that that's a good one, and I think it deserved to win. Speaking about Novo Nordisk a little bit, right? So this is the Danish drug maker that has been in business for 100 years. We kind of know it as a diabetes drug provider, or even a company that produces the insulin for diabetics. It's got, you know, a lot of its products have been around for a very, very long time. But the one that's getting a lot of the attention right now are its weight loss drugs, specifically Ozempic, which was actually developed to treat diabetes, but is now being used for weight loss, and Wegovy, which is the one that is approved for weight loss. Between the two of those, their sales increased 147% in their weight loss sector last year to $6 billion, right? This is not chump change. This is a huge global company that's selling like gangbusters, just like Monster Beverage and like Celsius are. This is weight loss drugs that are a lot of the times not even being covered by insurance, but they're just selling like hotcakes out there. And people are footing the $800 a month bill just because it's going to be a kind of an effective way to reduce 20% or more of body weight. And so it's very interesting to follow Novo Nordisk. You know, company has kind of pivoted in recent years. Stock has been on fire because it's got a brand new market that it's developed kind of out of nowhere.
And one of the things I liked about that matchup, even though I don't know if that was intentional or not, Simon, but both of these things are branded as weight loss supplements. So I thought that was a nice comparison there between the two of them. Moving on to our next matchup, a little bit different. Well, I guess these are both transportation companies in some regard. Our next matchup is Uber versus Rocket Lab. Uber, of course, is the rideshare for humans. And Rocket Lab is something of a rideshare company of its own right. It's just sending satellites into space. But one of the telltale signs of its products is that you can actually hop a ride with other riders. And similar to Uber, that it costs a little bit less if you do. So, Simon, I'm going to let you take the floor on these. I know you've been following both of these companies closely. And what's your initial thought of it? I guess just break down a little bit in more detail, maybe a more nuanced opinion on both of these companies.
Yeah, first of all, very perceptive, JT. You know, the first two were supposed to be kind of the healthy weight loss as kind of the common thread between the two of them. And like you said, rideshare is the common thread between Uber and Rocket Lab. In fact, I should call it ride sharing when you're putting payloads into space with a larger payload. Uber, of course, is ride sharing for human beings, right? It's disrupted the transportation world. $138 billion in fares last year, and Uber took about a 25% cut of that, booked $37 billion in revenue. Now, I mean, there's a lot of controversy around Uber, right? You know, this is something that had its high-profile IPO back in 2019. It was formed in 2009, and then 10 years later goes public at $80 billion. Since then, it's effectively doubled its earliest investors' money, right? It's double in market cap since its 2019 IPO. And we've had speed bumps along the way, right? Uber has gotten sued by a variety of different states based on how they're classifying their drivers. You know, are they employees or are they independent contractors? That's going on in New York, New Jersey, New Massachusetts, a whole bunch of other locations. And of course, its first CEO, right, Travis Kalanick, kind of had that misogynistic corporate culture, right? He had allegations of sexual harassment. He's out, and Dara has come in. The previous Expedia CEO has really kind of turned the ship around since taking the helm in 2017 for Uber. And I guess just one thing that I want to say about this one as we kind of frame this matchup and talk about Uber is it sounds so controversial. You know, we've kind of got this bad taste in our mouth about Uber's past. But if you look at the company itself, it generated $3.4 billion in free cash flow last year. That's almost a 10x increase from $390 million in 2022. And so this has become a cash flow gushing machine that a lot of people said there's too much competition, there's too many skeletons in the closet. But Uber is kind of rising to top with a super popular ride sharing app. And investors in the company that have stuck with it for a long time have been rewarded by a lot of cash flows. And it seems, JT, like that's pretty well poised to continue here in 2024 as well.
Yeah, Simon, as you may know, I actually was an Uber driver for a little bit of time there around 2017. That was my side hustle around the time that my kid was born. And I can tell you as somebody who worked with both Uber and Lyft, I feel that bad taste in your mouth when I hear the name Uber, because that in 2017, being an Uber driver, it was not a very rewarding place to be. And one of the straws that broke the camel's back for me and had me stop doing it was when it went public, we were all classified as contractors, and there was never even any discussion allowing us to, you know, get a share purchase program or being a part of that IPO. So it was just one of those things as part of the old guard that left a bad taste in my mouth was, you know, here I am, you know, busting my hope for something and maybe getting like $15, $20 an hour, putting all the risk on my car to go out and do that. And then the company doesn't take care of its drivers. So I'd be interested to see if that culture has changed in the last 5-6 years. But certainly when I was there doing it, I was not a big fan. Lyft was a little bit better, but neither one of them was great as far as how they treated their contractors. Do you know if there's any, you know, change on that front? I know they're being sued a bunch, but it hasn't been any like aha moment, like, oh, we should actually like do right by these folks that are keeping our company afloat.
Yeah. And JT, in full transparency, I do ride sharing all the time when I'm traveling, and I exclusively use Lyft instead of Uber. So I'm not, you know, I'm not by any means a super bull on Uber. In terms of an investment, it has done very, very well. It's still got this 4-year ongoing legal battle, especially in California. You know, what was it, Proposition 22, or, you know, the classification of independent contractor versus employee. That's something that's just kind of in and out of court, that you've got these lawsuits that kind of have no end, right? It's been going on for 4 years with this one. And it seems like there probably will be another 4 years that they'll be fighting this out. Obviously, one of the biggest costs is Uber's drivers and how they handle the classifications of them.
Christoph, are you an Uber guy? Are you a Lyft guy? What's your rideshare platform of choice?
I am definitely a Lyft guy. There's something sleazy about Uber's origin stories that made me, for better or worse, in my mind, think Lyft is the nice underdog. And I doubt in this cutthroat business that there's such a wide gap. I imagine both companies are having to press, you know, the limits on humane treatment. But at least the story for Lyft is that they're not Uber. They're going to treat people better. So for better or worse, I always go with Lyft in the same exact way as Simon does. Plus, it's hot pink versus black. I'm a hot neon pink kind of guy myself.
Christoph, they're both four-letter words, right? For a reason.
Correct.
Well, one way to get around not mistreating your employees is just to automate. And that's what Rocket Lab has done. No pilots on the rocket ships. But there are a lot of intriguing elements to Rocket Lab. There's a new rocket in the pipeline. I hear rumblings that Neutron is going to blast off in 2024. Simon, do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So Rocket Lab has got kind of its first rocket was called Electron, right? And it can carry up to 300 kilograms of payload up into space. That's a vending machine. You know, that's a pretty good sized satellite, but it's certainly not a massive satellite. You can't put an entire constellation, which means multiple satellites, up at the same time. But Rocket Lab kind of, you know, it had these three kind of launch pads. It had a couple in New Zealand and one outside of Virginia. And it was getting larger and larger deals as it kind of grew from this really neat little disruptor of the space economy. You know, you could put a small satellite on your own window, your own launch window of exactly when you want and exactly where you want it. And that was something that Elon could never do with SpaceX, right? It was much more customer focused based on their requirements. And they were more expensive in terms of dollars per kilogram. But as Rocket Lab is getting bigger, and as you mentioned, JT, is now kind of got Neutron in development, it's wanting to bring not just 300 kilograms into space, but 8,000 kilograms, right? Eight metric tons of a payload into space at the same time. And of course, if you are a company who's wanting to do broadband internet, you know, satellite internet, you want to place a whole bunch of these. So if one satellite goes down, you've got others to carry the load. Or various other applications, you know, imaging, video, logistics, things like this. This is where the really big companies like the Amazons, you know, the commercial customers start getting really, really interested. And so Neutron is going to have its first test flight here by the end of 2024. We have seen Rocket Lab getting larger and larger deals with the Department of Defense. Last year kind of had a really groundbreaking $14 million contract for tracking hypersonic missiles, right? A lot of stuff going on with international conflicts right now with Russia and Ukraine, and even keeping an eye on what China's working on. And so kind of the first big win it had was last year, got this $14 million contract for its new responsive space program. And then this year, Rocket Lab built upon that $14 million contract and got a $515 million contract that runs over 10 years. With the U.S. Space Development Agency. And this has gone from just putting satellites into space to designing them, to manufacturing them, to placing them, and then managing the operations of them. And so the kind of the key takeaway for investors here is this space economy is heating up, right? We're setting up shop in outer space out in orbit, and Rocket Lab has started very, very small and is getting bigger and bigger methodically. And as this industry kind of organically grows, they're winning bigger and bigger contracts, and they're doing the things that are previously very, very hard for anyone to do. And they're doing it reliably and methodically. And I think that for an investment perspective, that's exactly what you want to see. You just want to see more and more successful launches, bigger and bigger contracts, and more demanding customers. And Neutron's going to completely redefine the business here as it takes, you know, as soon as it goes into orbit here in 2024.
So that's the next matchup of our best stocks of 2024 contest here. Christoph, can you read the tea leaves here? Which do you think is going to resonate the most with our Twitter followers? You think it's going to be Uber, or do you think it's going to be Rocket Lab?
I think it's going to be Rocket Lab. But I'm heavily biased by Simon's pitch and description. I just think if I can't get my dirty paws on SpaceX, Rocket Lab is the next best thing. And I always like making big bets for, you know, investment-wise for the next 10, 20 years. And I think the space economy is like it's just like, you know, it's a whole new universe. And the way it's going to be monetized is probably beyond our comprehension. Whereas Uber, I see cutthroat competition. There's competition coming from automated driving. We don't know what Tesla is going to have up its sleeve. So I would not sleep as well with Uber as an investment as I would with Rocket Lab.
I agree with you. And to that point, one of the neat things about Rocket Lab is, you know, the stock shot up into the stratosphere when it first IPO'd, and then it's since kind of hovered in between like the $4 and $8 range. So it's been a neat stock for small cash investors like myself to grab a few shares here and there each month and stock up on, so to speak. So I hope you're right. I hope it does. I hope it goes ballistic in the future. Simon, your pick, do you think it's going to be Uber, or do you think it's going to be Rocket Lab amongst our followers when this thing goes live?
Yeah, I think the Rocket Lab is going to win the vote. And I think it's probably the better long-term investment too. With one caveat that Rocket Lab needs to raise a ton of money for what it's doing, and Uber hardly needs to raise any money for what it's doing. So it's much more capital intensive. That tends to work against investors sometimes.
Yeah, Uber definitely the more seasoned, if not established, pick. I hesitate to call Uber established. I think they are the market leader in what they do, but I also think that what they do is, as Christoph said, they were a disruptive industry in their own right. They disrupted the taxi industry. And now I think they are, you know, 5 to 10 years away from being very heavily disrupted themselves too. So that'll be interesting. So Celsius takes round one. We've got Uber versus Rocket Lab for round two. And if you want to join and play with us over the next 12 months, you can. You can go to 7investing.com/contest and join. It's absolutely free to join. You don't have to be a 7investing subscriber to join. You just go to 7investing.com/contest, sign up with Stock Card, and then you can create your portfolio there. Now, I, of course, recommend you do become a 7investing subscriber, not just to be better at this contest, but also to be better at your own portfolio. You've got lead advisors like Christoph and like Simon, who each month break down companies like Rocket Lab, like Celsius, like Uber, like Novo Nordisk, and look for the very best companies in the stock market today. They give you deep dive recommendations where you can really kick the tires and figure out which company is right for your investing style, and then use that to empower your portfolio. So if you want to join us as a paying subscriber for 7investing, you can go to 7investing.com/subscribe and join us for just $1 for your first week. You get that free, that $1 trial. You can see what we're all about. You can look through our portfolios and you can see how we performed over time versus the S&P 500. And then you can look through our full research reports and see just how deep this rabbit hole goes. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me here today. I really appreciate it. I cannot wait to see who wins round two of our competition. And if you're a listener, stay tuned. We're going to have more podcasts like these throughout the month of March as we go through and find our final seven for the best stocks of 2024 contest. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I'm JT Street. And for 7 Investing, we empower you to invest in your future.